Turn to Numbers chapter 6. We're reading verses 24, 25, and 26. God saying to Moses, he said, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord makes his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." You know, Isaiah was rightly called the messianic prophet because he had more to say about Jesus Christ than anyone else. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, Paul wrote that the Holy Scriptures is able to make us wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. In your outlines, I included a bunch of chapters in Isaiah. We're not going to cover all those chapters, but I wrote them there so that you would look those up at your convenience. Because a study of the book of Isaiah proves what Paul wrote is true. Isaiah tells us about the Lord's birth in Isaiah chapters 7 and 9. In chapter 11, he talks about the Lord's behavior. Chapter 53, he talks about the Lord's bruises and his blessings in chapter 61. Isaiah saw the Lord's glory in chapter 6 and specified the Lord's government in chapters 2 and 9, and also the Lord's grief in chapter 53. He spoke of his grace in chapters 45, 49, and 53. He also refers to the Lord's position and preaching and pain and his pardon and the Lord's peace. What he says about peace is what I would like to focus on this evening. In Isaiah 26, in verses 3 and 4, Isaiah writes, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." There are three parts of this verses that I would like to cover this evening: the promise, the person, and the power. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. The promise. This peace is not just a peace that we see when nations come to an agreement after war. This is a perfect peace. This is not a peace that can be devised by man. This is the peace that we read of in Philippians 4, 6 that passes all understanding. And it is the peace that only Jesus Christ can give us. For in John 14, verse 24 or 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, I give unto you." It is the peace of God that Paul refers to in Romans 5 and verse 1. It is the peace from God that is referred to in almost every book in the New Testament. Peace of God in Philippians 4, 6. The peace of God in Romans 5, 1. The peace of God in Romans 1, verse 7. As Isaiah 26 and verse 12, Isaiah said, "The Lord will establish peace for us." So how does he establish that peace for us? The answer we find in Isaiah 26 and verse 5, or 53, I'm sorry, in verse 5. "The chastisement of our peace was upon him." In other words, Colossians 1 and verse 20 puts it this way, that he made peace through the blood of Christ. Paul in Ephesians 2 and verse 14, he said that he himself is our peace. Jesus is our peace because he established peace when he suffered the chastisement for our peace, and thus made peace through the blood of the cross. How he keeps us in his perfect peace. It's not partial peace. It's not perfect peace. It's not temporary peace. It is permanent. It is a peace that will not cease. The person, who is the person that will receive this perfect peace? It is the peace whose mind is stayed on God. Isaiah says you, and if you look in your Bibles, that you is capital U, capital Y. It is a person who remembers the price that was paid. It is the person whose mind is fixed and focused on Christ. God will keep in perfect peace those who trust in Christ and His sacrifice. Might say, and I kind of have to think, well, I'm not always at peace, not with myself anyway. We have so much that goes on in our minds, it's hard to be at peace. But this perfect peace isn't the kind of peace that we think about in peace of mind. It is a peace that we will be with God, and it is that peace that is continual. Anyone who is married, anyone who has had children, can have peace within. Sometimes. But it is not perfect peace all the time. Too many times we think that our peace with God depends on our peace within. But we can be torn apart within and still be at peace with God. We can still have and face the trials and tribulations of this life and still have peace because we have placed our trust in God and Christ. We can think back on the things that He has done for us and how we have been reconciled to God, and that will bring us about our perfect peace, because no matter what we go through in life, we still have that perfect peace. We are never going to be absent from troubles, ever. They are going to hound us till the dirt is shoveled over our bodies. I'll give you an example of this. In John 16, verse 33, "These things, Jesus said, I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." So He's already telling us, you're going to have problems. Just because you follow me, just because you are one of mine, does not exempt you from the troubles of the world. You are going to have them. You are going to face them. Paul knew in Romans 5:1 that having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. That is where this perfect peace comes from. You look at the life of Paul. Do you read about a life, a carefree life, free of all trials and tribulations? That he walked everywhere he wanted to go and never had a problem in his life. He was troubled. And internally, he was not at peace. Several scriptures come to mind. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 3, "I was with you in weakness and in much trembling." In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8, "We are pressed hard on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair." The word perplexed means to be in doubt, not knowing which way to turn or what to do. I wake up perplexed. I don't know whether to turn off the alarm or throw it. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 5, Paul said, "We were troubled on every side. Outside were fightings or conflicts. Inside were fears." The point is, when Paul uses words like weakness and fear and much trembling and perplexing and hard pressed and troubled and downcast. We know he didn't always have a peace of mind. There were a lot of things that were weighing on Paul as he was spreading the gospel. And probably the one thing that he worried the most about, as we should, is about others. Of course, he worried about himself. And sometimes he let the problems get to him. Paul's no different than you and I. We had the same fears. We have the same weaknesses. We are human beings. But no matter what his problems were, or how he let it affect him, he still always had peace with God because he was in Christ. We cannot forget that God has established peace for us. For those of us who trust him, he keeps us in that perfect peace. Regardless of where we find ourselves, what circumstances, what problems we face, we are in that perfect peace. It may not always be peaceful internally, but it will always be peaceful and peace eternally. Because what Jesus has done for us. Finally, I want to observe the power that makes this perfect peace possible for those who have been pardoned. Notice what Isaiah said in Isaiah 26 and verse 4, that we are to trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord is everlasting strength. How many times do we feel weak inside? How many times when we have to face a situation do we say to ourselves, I can't do this. I can't overcome these things. When we put our trust in God, we can overcome an awful lot. I've seen it here with individuals within this congregation who has come out of the shell and blossomed like you wouldn't believe. Bear that to 11 years ago when I first came here. Verse 12 says that he will establish peace for us. For you have also done all our works in us. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5, Paul said here, not that we are sufficient of ourselves or think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. You see who we're supposed to cling to? You see who gives us that strength? It's not ourselves. It is from God. Philippians 1, verse 6 tells us he's begun a good work in us. When God begins a good work in us, he will complete that work. Works in us what is well-pleasing in his sight through Christ Jesus. I asked Paul to lead that song, Peace Like a River, because it fits so well with this poem. And it's one of my favorite hymns. And it wasn't because I grew up with it. I never heard it until the mid-80s. Actually, it was a little bit later than that. And I first time sang it, I constantly was dwelling throughout that week on those words. I had just come back from the first Persian Gulf War. And there were a lot of things that I can't classify as PTSD, But there were things that were haunting. When you hear a fire truck coming up the road in the middle of the night, we had the windows open, I would jump up and yell for Vicky to get in the bunker. I thought it was the air raid siren. Different things that I had grown accustomed to in 7 months, trying to get back to a normal life. I was given up to a month leave free, just stay away for a month, not go to work. After about 4 days, Vicky was begging me to go back to work. I'd be up till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and then go to bed and be up at 7 or 8. The song, when peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whenever, wherever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well, it is well with my soul. Those words have stuck with me for many years. It is well with my soul, even though I am being drowned in a storm-tossed sea. It is well with my soul. And why is it that way? For thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. You know, it's wonderful when we are asking our children to do something and they say they're afraid, and we say, do you trust me? And they say, yes, yes, I trust you. How wonderful it is when God can say he trusts in us. Because we trust in him. God has supplied us with a perfect peace that will never cease, no matter what we face each and every day. It is a perfect peace for those who have been pardoned, even though we are wrought with personal problems and issues and trials. It is a peace that's based on his promises and his pardon, and his power. It's a peace that doesn't depend on our productivity or even our own perceptions. And you know, to be perfectly honest, we may never really fully perceive the peace that we really have. But he keeps us in that perfect peace whether we fully realize it or not. Perfect peace depends on our trust in him. And him alone. Where do you stand this evening? Do you fully realize the peace that we have within? When the trials of life weigh us down, oftentimes it affects us emotionally. It affects the way we behave and sometimes the way we act. But we don't have to worry about our relationship with God. As those who have been pardoned, we are continually washed in the blood of Christ. Where we can come to him in prayer and a penitent heart and be forgiven of those things, and that peace is continually reestablished. There's a home that's been prepared for each of us. But if you haven't been pardoned by Christ, you haven't been pardoned, you are not a child of God, we pray that you will make that decision tonight. That you will then allow that perfect peace to rest upon you. Through repentance and confession and baptism, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. And without delay, we pray that you will take that offer. It is free. It doesn't cost anything. But you will receive riches beyond what man could ever provide. If there's anyone that has a need this evening, we ask that you come as together we stand and we sing.